Amen. I hope it is well with your soul today. Praise the Lord. Beautiful songs this morning. You can be seated and take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Revelation. And as we read the book of Revelation, we do find out the secret. What's that? We win. Amen. We win. Praise the Lord. When it's all said and done, when it's all over, we win. And what a blessing to know that. I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. Are you? Okay. Well, we'll get you fired up about that. But anyway, praise the Lord. Good to have you here. Lesson number 28 is the one that we're on. We also have lesson 29 available. And if you need either of those lessons, please raise your hand and we will get those to you. We have several up here in the front. The Lilies visiting with us today on Sunday. They were here on Wednesday night. These dear folks live in North Adams, and my wife and I actually visited North Adams yesterday for the very first time in our lives, and what a quaint little community that is. And we'd never been there, so we had to check out the little diner. I love diners like that. I like those little storefront diners. And how many of you have ever been in the North Adams, the little diner right there? Anybody? Oh, lots of folks. Good, good. And anyway, we had a good time. But quite a few up here in the front. Lesson 28, lesson 29. We need both of those. We are still on section number 5. And actually, we will be spending probably our greatest amount of time with the last two characters out of the seven key characters, and dealing with Revelation chapters 12 and 13. So right here in the middle of Revelation, chapters 12 and 13, we deal with these seven key characters. One of those is the woman, which is Israel. The other one is the dragon, which is Satan. The other one is the child, which is the Lord Jesus. Four is Michael, the archangel. And now we are dealing with number 5, the remnant. And with lesson 29, we will deal with number 6, and that is the Antichrist and or the beast. And then lesson number 7, the seventh character, of course, is the false prophet. And we will spend probably the most time talking about the Antichrist and then the false prophet. And if you think about it, and I do this as we're studying Revelation, you think about the fact that if the rapture were to take place soon, even within the next 10 years or so, then we would have to assume that the Antichrist, known as the beast here in Revelation 13, he's somewhere. He's growing in popularity. He's becoming a force. He's maybe in college training. And certainly there are many, 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 most colleges that could train him well. Hello. But anyway, he's out there. Again, we're not making predictions. Don't know when this is going to happen. That's one of the things we, as we started in on Revelation, very, 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 very clear in Scripture, we don't know. Don't know when. Could be today. Praise the Lord. Could be tomorrow, could be a week, could be a month, could be 20 years, could be 100 years, don't know. But we do know this, the signs of the times are very, very clear. We're starting to see things that are very, very exciting in reference to the return of the Lord. And so it is exciting. Now, the tribulation is not exciting. No tribulation is exciting. Tribulation is bad. The great tribulation that we're talking about here is certainly not a pleasant thing at all. It is a terrible time, probably the worst time, actually, for humanity. And it is all about God dealing with his people, Israel, and everybody that gets in the way, and obviously dealing with Satan and his demons. And it is a war zone. The earth becomes a war zone. It becomes a place of God's judgment. And it is not a pleasant place at all. But there is in the midst of it, as we started last week in Revelation 12, there is a remnant. The assisted remnant is the title of lesson 28. And our memory verse deals with that, Revelation 12, 17. Let's go ahead and say that together a couple times. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, 17. And one more time, Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, 17. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you that we can have this class time, and Lord, that we can go through a book such as the book of Revelation. Thank you, we don't have to worry about guards coming in or soldiers coming in or anyone interrupting our service here in America yet. As we study this book, we thank you that we are still a free country and that we can study your word. And Lord, it seems that this building would be full. And yet, we're here, Father, and we want to hear something from your word. So please guide us into the truth of the scripture and cause us to be different because of this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we talked about the description of the remnant, and we had 2 points under that. Number one, or capital A, was the people, a remnant of her seed, the seed of the woman, Israel. We do recognize that not all Jews get saved during the tribulation, but many do get saved. They are saved the same way we get saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. And so people will get saved during the tribulation. People that heard and refused before the rapture, they will not get saved. And we've spent a lot of time talking about all that. But there will be folks getting saved during the tribulation. The Bible's very clear about that. And so the remnant of her seed saved Jews. Many Jews will get saved. 144,000, of course, we know are saved, and they're out preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved. The two witnesses preach the gospel, and people get saved. And so there is a remnant. So we see the people, then we saw their protection, and they are protected, as with all saved people are protected. Understand that the worst thing that can happen to you and I as a Christian is that we die and go to heaven. Now, I know, you know, we all, well, praise God, I mean, I'm ready. Well, now, really, you know, that makes good preaching and it makes good testifying, but the truth of the matter is, don't go run in front of a semi-truck, all right? Let's not try to speed that up or anything, but you should be ready. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God, and we need to be ready, and I hope you are ready. I hope you're saved, hope you've trusted Christ. We don't need to. I've counseled too many people that talk about committing suicide and God, let God take care of that. He's in control of all that. He knows what's best. And the fact that your heart is still beating, go ahead and check. Well, maybe you want to do this. The fact that you're alive, God doesn't want you dead. Isn't that deep? You say, boy, I learned something in Sunday school today. I'm alive. God doesn't want... Okay, amen. So, but we are protected. God takes care of us. And when it's time, it's time. God's going to protect you until then. And, of course, we ended last week with verse 17, just going over it again. The dragon was wroth with the woman because God miraculously delivers the Jews and protects them so they can hear the gospel and they get delivered. And of course, we talked about Petra and all that. But then he goes to make war with all the saved people that aren't necessarily in those safe places. And it is war. I get frustrated with the Christians of today. In fact, there's this attitude, hey, you know, we got saved so we can have fun. Well, I hate to tell you this, folks, but it just, persecution's not fun. And I know we want to avoid, so I'll just not tell anybody I'm a Christian. Well, that's disobeying God. They'll make fun of me. They'll give me a hard time. They'll persecute me. And to be honest with you, Christians are dying in our world. They are dying because they've taken a stand for Jesus Christ. We are I think, going to be ashamed. When we're in heaven, you know, I'm not sure what all... The Bible says God will wipe away our tears, so I think there's going to be some kind of heart-wrenching moments. We show videos sometimes and tributes and different things like that, and And you know, the missionary that was here last week, and we all kind of were stirred by, at 71 years old, he wants to go be a missionary in China, and what a blessing that was. But I think when we get to heaven, we are going to be amazed at the godly Christians in our world that stood for the cause of Christ, and they died for their stand. And it'll put us to shame because we're, you know, we just want to live it up and have fun. Now again, that's not everybody, and I'm not, but it just seems to be an attitude today that, you know, church is supposed to be like an entertainment center. No, it's supposed to be a preaching center. And it's supposed to be a place where people get right with God and learn how to walk with God so they can get out there and stand for God. And we need to stand. And having done all, it says in Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. Just take your stand. Now, I'm having fun as a Christian. I'm having a great time. I enjoy being saved. I love my walk with God. But, you know, it's not always fun getting shot at. It's not always fun. And again, we're not having bullets fly by. But, you know, we get talked about, and we get stabbed in the back, and we go through some things, but it's nothing like the Christians have, and maybe what we'll see someday. You know, it's all you have to do is just kind of watch what's going on. We may see some of these things ourselves. If not us, our children. If not them, the children in our nursery. You know, times are, it's hard to say. But anyway, I'm getting a little preachy here. Number two, Roman numeral two, the decision of the remnant. The decision is where we start today. You say, you already started. Well, I can't help it. The decision of the remnant. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is wroth with the woman. God protects the woman. God protects his people. And then Satan goes after the remnant, saved people, because Satan hates God's people. He hates the preaching, the teaching, and the reaching. He hates it. Hates it with a passion. Hates the preaching of the Word of God. Hates the teaching of the Word of God, and he hates the reaching people with the Word of God. And he's going to fight it, and he's always going to fight it. Okay, if he can shut down the bus ministry of Berean Baptist Church, then he has shut down a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching and a lot of reaching of a lot of people that would never just come here. So we got to keep the buses rolling. If he can shut down the mission program of Berean Baptist Church, wow, that's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, and a lot of reaching. We got to keep giving, folks. If he can shut down the soul winning program, that's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, and a lot of reaching. Prison ministry, shepherd's ministry, vacation Bible school, the fair ministry, a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, a lot of reaching. Amen. Got to stand for those things. Got to stand. Got to keep going. Can't give up. And now these people, not only are they, you know, and we've already talked about the 144,000, talked about they're out there preaching the Word of God. We've talked about the two witnesses preaching the Word of God. And so you have the preaching, the teaching, and the reaching. But now there's also a decision that has been made by the remnant here. And I think it's significant to look at. And it really sets them apart in a whole nother way. And the first thing that they do, and I have it here as capital A, they keep the commandments of God. Here's the remnant that is going to stick with God's word during the tribulation. Not a popular, you know, we think it's tough today. I hear it all the time. You know, I'll have a teenager say, oh, it's just so hard to do right. You know, I got from Bob Jones Sr., do right till the stars fall. And I say do right all the time. I'm telling our young people, well, preacher, what do you want me to do? You know, I want you to do right. I've got a fella text me constantly who's in Bible college. And it often ends with this, just do right. Just do right. We know what's right. We really do. We who have been saved a while, we know what's right to do. Notice, you know, we're not saying do what feels good. We're not saying do what's popular, but just do right. Amen. And keeping the commandments of God during the tribulation. Try to imagine. Try to imagine. Well, how difficult. Again, if it's tough now, if it's tough for our young people in the public schools, if it's tough for them, how difficult is it going to be? And we'll, as we get into the Antichrist and how evil, how wicked he is, as we get into all that, do you understand, folks? Keeping the commandments of God. Sticking with the Word of God. Now, I'm going to have to plead guilty today of being part of the remnant today. I'm saved. I'm born again. I've trusted Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Him. But I'm also not ashamed to tell you today, I just really want to keep the commandments of God. I am striving to do what God said to do. It is not a day where, hey, you can just do whatever you want to do. Oh, God won't mind. That is hog slop. If God didn't mind, He wouldn't have told us, here's what you do. He does mind. He wants us to keep it. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, in the tribulation, again, I quote Ephesians 6, having done all. I mean, you've done everything you can. Well, now what do? Stand. Just stand. Just take your stand. Yeah, folks don't like it. No, I promise you people don't like it. It's getting worse and worse. I mean, the thinking today, it's so scary to imagine how people think today. It's so scary how over the many, many years. You know, when I went to public school, we still had a little Bible time in the morning. How many of you had a little Bible time in public school? Okay, they haven't had that for years. I mean, that's gone. That's way out of there. By the time I was in high school, I had an English teacher that cussed and swore right during class and, you know, pretty much cursed the name of God. But I mean, in elementary school, I remember as a little boy, I remember going and we had little sticky, I started to say sticker thing. Back in those days, you didn't have stickers, you had paste. Remember paste? And we pasted, we had a little board, and we pasted our memory verse on this little paper thing. And I didn't grow up in church, and it was all new to me, but I still can remember the little pasty things that we pasted on our little paper that had memory verses. And again, but it's been years and years and years of people growing up, not just because of the public schools, but because of media, television, you know, and just the thinking. And then the colleges are so ungodly today. I mean, it's just so far out to the, you know, the idea that anybody would even consider that a man and a man could be married and raise a child is unbelievable. Now, you know, some of you are thinking, Pastor, you ought not say that. Yeah, I know. There's probably a drone flying around here somewhere or squirming around here somewhere and listening in. But I'm just saying, the thinking is scary. It really is. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stand. You know, so many today, and churches are going this way, and that's why it makes it so much harder, because we hear, well, yeah, but they, that church is, what's wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? What is the deal with the King James Bible? And we hear it all the time. You know, well, having done all, stand. You just stand. And honestly, Christians today, it's just a whole different world. And so I'm going to keep believing, I'm going to keep doing, and I'm going to keep obeying God's word. And the truth is, everybody in this room, there are a host of folks, because this is the solid class of Berean. Well, they're all solid. But anyway, you know, bless God, we don't eat pancakes. We have the Word of God. We had our pancakes early. That's because we all get up so early, right? We ate breakfast like 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, 5, 6, anyway. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we have to just keep going with the truth. And even though it's not popular, even though it's not going to, you know, the big crowds don't flock to it, somebody needs to hear the truth. So we're going to stand, keep the commandments, and that's going to be in the tribulation. And then notice what else they did, another decision that they made that I think, again, this is so important. It says, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not only are they keeping the commandments of God, but they're saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am identifying with Jesus Christ. And again, that is not going to be popular during the tribulation. Jesus Christ, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, identifying with Jesus Christ. By the way, what is the first step of identifying with Jesus Christ for a Christian? Who knows? Baptism. Very good. We get baptized. Now, in our day, I mean here in America, you get baptized and people say, amen, and they clap. Do you understand in some countries and in the early church, somebody got baptized and they were killed. Somebody got baptized and they were thrown in prison. Somebody gets baptized in our world in some countries and they are immediately persecuted. Here in America, it's still okay. You know, I mean, the worst thing you get out of it is your hair's wet. And we have hair dryers back there, and you can get. And for me, it doesn't take a hair dryer. But the testimony of Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, we have the Lord's Supper. Last Sunday, we had the Lord's Supper. What is that? It's identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's identifying with his body, which was broken. It's identifying with the blood that was shed. It's identifying. It's letting people know, hey, I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. You remember when WWJD came out, what would Jesus do? And that was such a big thing. And you know, again, the idea, nothing wrong with the idea, if you really believe that way. But it became so ridiculous. I led two people to Christ who had WWJD bracelets or shirts or something. I mean, they weren't saved. I said, hey, do you know what your bracelet stands for? Yeah, what would Jesus do? I said, really? I said, well, have you ever trusted Jesus as Savior? Huh? They had no clue. Didn't have any idea what it was to be saved. Now, again, it was a slick advertising thing. But then you started seeing WWJD on ashtrays, bikinis, WWJD, you know. And it became kind of a joke. But I got news for you. If you and I really are serious, we will ask ourselves that question all the time. What would Jesus do in this case? What would he do about this? What would he do about that? As we're watching the typical TV show, would Jesus, you know, what would he do about this? Would he watch that? Would he watch that movie? Would he go to that place? Would he hang around this crowd? What would he do? Now, he might hang around the crowd to try to get them saved, but he isn't going to spend time with them. You know, identifying with Jesus Christ. You know, today, it's so many today. You know, talk, walk, look, act like a bunch of heathen. And that's the Christians. And, you know, that is, again, in the remnant, in the tribulation, you say, well, it's tough to stand for God. I'm not, you know, people might mock and everything, but one day, do you understand, people are going to take a mark. And you know, nowadays, tattoos are big. You know, that's a big thing. I just said one thing about it during, I don't remember. And I mean, it was like, Pastor, you're old-fashioned. You're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty clear in the Scripture. It's very clear, right? I mean, you know, now, again, you may have gotten a tattoo before you got saved, and it's tough to get rid of. I'm just saying, you talk about, so you're gonna tell this big old muscular guy that he's wrong, and yeah, just biblically, I mean, you know, wrong is wrong. I mean, if a big old muscular guy cusses and swears, I'm going to tell him that's wrong, too. Doesn't matter if he's big and muscular, or doesn't matter if he can play football, basketball, baseball. Doesn't matter, really. I mean, the point is, as a Christian, I've got to take a stand. Now, you know, one of these days, there's going to be a 666 tattooed on somebody's head or on their hand. What's the remnant going to do? Well, they're not going to take that mark. I submit to you, folks, it's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough, tough day. And I watch Christians of today, and honestly, it is such a weak, anemic kind of a Christianity. It is hard to even imagine that taking place today. It's scary to think what people would do. You say, well, I bless God, I'd take the mark of Jesus. So will you take the mark of Jesus by saying, I want to have my testimony to be Christ-like. I want people to know I'm a Christian. When they look at me, when they hear me speak, when they watch what I do, when they see where I go, when they see the things that I am associated with, I want everybody to say, that guy is a Christian. And I want it to be what I say and what I do and where I go. I want to, and that's exactly what it means by their testimony. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, the decision of the remnant. And by the way, that totally infuriates the devil. He absolutely hates it with a passion. And so, to say that, Pastor, you really have stirred up the devil, praise the Lord. And I hope you're stirring him up too with your testimony. It is so important. I close with Roman numeral 3, and that is the destiny of the remnant, the destiny. And what happens to the remnant? Well, first of all, they're in the tribulation. There's nothing fun about the tribulation. The earth is being destroyed, as we've seen with the judgments of God. People are dying all around. If you've ever read some of the fiction, different series, the books, and I think there's some videos out about that. Again, they're fictional, but it does take an idea of what may take place. I would say whatever you read, whatever you heard, it's going to be worse. I don't think we can imagine what it's like. I don't think we can imagine the craziness. Do you understand? The rapture takes place. We're all gone. You know, people come in here and take everything they can. They loot buildings. They loot stores. They loot houses. It's just people are going to die. They're going to shoot and kill, and people are going to be hungry, and planes are going to fall out of the sky. Cars are going to drive off the highway. You know, if you're, again, you just, it's hard for us to imagine. And all that death and all that's going to be taking place, you know, everything we've studied, everything we've talked about, as bodies are not able to be dealt with, and there's disease and that spreading and the smell and just everything, it's a terrible thing. And somebody that gets saved, understand, they're living in it. They are right there in the middle of it. Again, this idea that, hey, you know, it's fun being a Christian. Well, I'm having a wonderful time. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just not, the valleys aren't always fun. And to preach a Christianity without valleys, to preach a Christianity without the cross to bear, that's not a Bible Christianity. And so there's tribulation, the destiny of the remnant. They're in the tribulation. And then, according to verse 17, they're in a war. The dragon was wroth with a woman, and he went to make war with a remnant. It's a war. There's nothing fun about a war. There's nothing fun about the devil attacking. There's nothing fun. He never plays fair. Okay? He's not fair in his attack. The bullseye that you have on you, he takes aim at it often. And he doesn't care if he hits you between the eyes or if he hits you in the back of the head or in the back. It doesn't matter to him. You know, it is a war. I always get a kick out of, we need to establish some rules of war. You know, it's rules of war. Okay, I understand that, but, war is war. And the Bible talks about us enduring hardness as a good soldier. Why would we be called soldiers, and why would we endure hard? Because it's a war. And the remnant, their destiny is tribulation, terrible, terrible time, and war. But also their destiny is that they are protected by God. Now, I say protected somewhat because most of them will die in the tribulation. Something will take their lives. God protects them from some things, but ultimately they will give their life for the cause of Christ. And so they're protected somewhat. You know, again, most of us probably will not give our lives for the cause of Christ. This class, anyway, most of this group. Now, again, I'm not trying to predict. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't, you know, pastor's trying to set a date here. No, I'm not. I don't think most of us will give our lives for the cause of Christ. I don't think we will stand before a firing squad and deny Christ or die. I don't think we're going to have that, or at a guillotine or whatever. I don't think any of us are going to face that here in America just because of our age. And we are such a young bunch, but still, even if we did, we are still protected somewhat, because again, the worst thing that can happen to us is we die and go to heaven, and there's no glaucoma in heaven, and there's no arthritis in heaven, and there's no aches and pains of any kind in heaven, and my wife won't need her neck brace in heaven or her heating pad or her hot tub. She's not going to need any of those things in heaven. And we're not going to need our glasses in heaven. We're not going to need our false teeth in heaven. And all the men will lose their hair to be perfect in heaven. Well, anyway, but again, you know, the destiny of the remnant, it's okay. And the destiny for you and I, as a saved person, it's okay. Amen. I don't care how bad it may seem. I don't care how deep that valley is. It's okay. It's okay. And as I pointed out, chapter 13, verse 7, I'm going to close with this. Well, ushers, we need to get money. Amen. Can we have the ushers come, please? And we'll go ahead and close with this after we get your money. In chapter 13 and verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And to overcome them. And I read that, and again, my statement that most will die during the tribulation. They'll give their life for the cause of Christ. And that is certainly verified by Revelation 13. But especially verse 7, and to overcome them. And they will become martyrs for the cause of Christ. And there have been many, 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 many martyrs. We will learn of all the martyrs when we get to heaven. We know of some. We certainly know of the Bible martyrs. And if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it is very humbling to read of what Christians have gone through over the years. But verse 7 makes it very clear of the destiny, and that is they will be overcome. The Antichrist is very, very powerful. But okay, so they're overcome, and they don't take the mark, and they're rounded up and put in prison or whatever it is, and then they have their heads chopped off, and then they go to heaven. Again, I'm not making light of our heads. We've grown very attached to our heads. And some of you aren't going to smile for anything today, are you? I wish I could come up with a good joke. But understand that even though on this earth we are overcome physically, and they are overcome, I should say, and we could be too, We are overcomers. Amen. We win in the long run. And in all eternity, we'll be singing the praise of the Lord and His glory. You know, I hope none of us see that kind of persecution, tribulation, trouble. Again, we aren't going to see the tribulation. I believe we'll be gone because of the rapture. But I'm just saying, that doesn't mean we won't see tribulation. It doesn't mean we won't see trial. It doesn't mean many see trials. But I'm talking about where people are out to get you and out to take your life. It is so hard to imagine what that's going to be like. And again, I try to, just because I'm teaching on this, but verse 7 is a humbling verse. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It was given to him to overcome. Oh, well, who gave him the right to overcome them? Well, who did? Who gave Satan the right to overcome Job? Yeah. Who allows the devil to do what he does? One of the big questions when you're out soul winning is, if God's so powerful, why does he let the devil do what he does? You know, well, God is God. And God does allow the devil to be the prince of the power of the air. He allows him to get away with all kinds of stuff. You know, how many of us pray, God, get him! You know, God, destroy the devil! And one of these days, he is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And it'll be a wonderful day. But until then, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep the commandments of the Lord, and I'm going to try to have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I hope you decide to do the same. Though we're not in the great tribulation, we may see tribulation. Some are in tribulation. Some go through things all the time. Isn't it wonderful to know that in the end, we win. And we do win. Praise the Lord.